is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Sulpician Father Paul Millay was once a rising concert pianist, studying under the legendary Leon Fleischer and performing for audiences near and far. Then came a call to the priesthood he ultimately could not ignore. Today, Father Millay serves on the faculty of St. Mary's Seminary and University here in Baltimore, where he helps form the next generation of priests. Even so, music remains a vital part of his life, and on May 29th and 30th, Father Millay will perform works by Mozart at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Baltimore. So, Father Millay, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks for having me.
So, how did you first get involved in music? What was your interest in music when you were growing up?
Well, I was very fortunate in that my father, being in the military, he was an army officer, was stationed in Germany. And I went to a German kindergarten. And there, everyone learned how to play the recorder. I'm talking about like at the age of 3 and a half or four or something like that. And we also learned how to, you know, the basics of reading music. So I took to it like a fish to water. It was just sort of in my blood. Also, my parents are both musical. And everyone in my family, I have four siblings, and everyone ended up playing instruments, although I'm the only one who went professional, so to speak.
When did you first start playing the piano? When were you introduced to that instrument?
At the ripe old age of five.
Okay.
And I loved it right from the beginning, although I was not particularly good at practicing. I spent a lot of time playing the piano and playing by ear and composing and improvising, but not necessarily practicing my lesson.
When did you start formal instruction?
At the age of five.
At five, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you like about the piano? What attracted you to that instrument?
Well, that's a mysterious thing. I mean, I think originally I was not going to stay with the piano. The piano was going to just be sort of a way to learn the basics of music. And I always planned to go on to either violin or cello. But then I really started doing very well at the piano, and my teachers said, no, I think you should stay with the piano. And so I love harmony, the way, you know, groups of notes sound together, and counterpoint, the voices in juxtaposition with each other. And then just the sound of the piano, when it can sound like different instruments.
You went on to study with Leon Fleischer. Could you tell us who he was and what that experience was like? He was such a prominent instructor.
That's what brought me to Baltimore. I came specifically to study with him at the Peabody Institute. He is considered by many to be the greatest pianist that the United States has produced. He died a few years ago, and he was he rose to international fame when he won the Queen Elizabeth of Belgium competition, I think in the late 50s. And he was particularly known for his recordings with George Sell, the great conductor who conducted the Cleveland Orchestra, and his recordings, specifically of the Beethoven piano concertos and several other concertos, are kind of considered the gold standard by a lot of pianists.
What was that experience like learning from someone who was so esteemed?
Honestly, I felt nervous the whole time I worked with him. Every time I'd go into a lesson, I felt nervous. And even though he had a kind way about him most of the time, it was still just knowing, who he was. And I mean, he had extremely exacting standards. He was not easily impressed. And he wanted us to bring in something new every week. So I would be, and generally we played from memory, as I recall. So that means, I would be slaving away for the entire week, for my lesson. And then I'd bring in something, and a lot of times it was a brand new piece, so it was not, necessarily well worked out yet. And also on top of that, he taught in groups so that there were other piano students of his in the studio. So you had a made ready-made audience, which also added pressure. And but I mean, you learned so much from him, and you covered so much repertoire, that I think he didn't want to so much dictate how you played a specific piece, but just how you that you were that your approach to music was convincing.
You went on to perform internationally as a concert pianist. Could you talk about that experience? What was it like performing? What's it like being on the international stage?
Well, I mean, it was very exciting. I was constantly jetting around to different countries, and I got to play in a lot of very exciting repertoire. I played many concertos with orchestras, and I always considered it such a great privilege to be able to make my living doing that. Although I always taught also, and it's very high pressure. People would say, "Oh, you're so lucky you get to go to France, or you're getting to go to South America or something like that." And I'd always say, "Yeah, but when I get there, I actually have to perform." So a lot of times I didn't have much time to enjoy seeing the country or that I was visiting, because I was just practicing away and making trying to get ready, make sure I was really prepared for the concerts.
Now, at the same time you were performing these concerts, you were also discerning a vocation at some point. How did that come about, and how did you make the decision to leave that career to pursue a priestly vocation?
Well, that seed, I would say, was planted when I was in high school. There was a I went to a Marianist high school, Central Catholic in San Antonio, and there was a faculty member, a priest who was a Marianist, who told me he thought that I should go to seminary and that I had a vocation to the priesthood. And my response was, on the one hand, I felt very honored that he thought that, and he was, that he invited me. But on the other hand, I thought there's just no way. This is like the last thing that I was thinking of doing. And yet it did plant a seed, and I had it in the back of my mind for many years. And it finally bore fruit when I started to say yes to the Lord in smaller ways, and I became a volunteer at the Gift of Hope, the Missionaries of Charity AIDS Hospice. It was AIDS Hospice then. I don't know exactly what it is now, but anyway, I was asked to be the Monday night volunteer, so I would stay overnight and take care of the men's needs during that night, and in other ways, I just started saying yes, and I was growing more and more in my faith, and then the missionaries of charity started praying for me that I would become a priest,
Wow.
and then I didn't think I had a chance after that.
Yeah, that AIDS hospice was located at St. Wenceslaus in East
Yes.
Baltimore, and now it's the home of the Source of All Hope missionaries from the Basilica. That's their residence is in where that AIDS
Oh,
hospice
okay.
used to be.
Okay.
What would you say, how can music express some understanding of the human experience or an understanding of God in ways that words can't, do you think?
Well, I agree that it does, and exactly how, I don't know. It's a very mysterious thing. Music does seem to just kind of emanate from the soul, and at least classical music. I'm not sure every kind of music does, but classical music, and it really kind of grew up and developed in the church. Western classical music, started like with Gregorian chant, and then when you had music notation develop in the church, then you had possibilities like polyphony, and it's no accident, I think, that music started. In many ways, I mean, you could say that it started outside the church, but the great tradition of Western music started within the Catholic Church and was expressive of the soul's desire for God and lifting up the heart. And I mean, there's no question in my mind that music just touches the soul. Touches the heart in ways that words really can't. I mean, I'm all for poetry and I love literature and all that, and it can be very powerful, but it seems like music goes a step beyond that.
Do you find it to be a form of prayer for you? Do you play the piano now daily, or do you have opportunities?
Yes, I do play daily, and the clip of music that I think you're going to play is a great example of music as prayer. It's called Nun kommt der Heidenheiland by Bach, which is Now the Savior of the Nations Comes. And, just not all music, but some music especially is very conducive to prayer.
Our guest today is Sulpician Father Paul Millay, a concert pianist and a professor at St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore. Father Millay will be giving a concert at the Baltimore Basilica at the end of May. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. But as we leave this segment, we'll feature Father Millay on piano playing a bit of the music by Bach that he was just talking about. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.
Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We're talking today with Sulpician Father Paul Millay, a concert pianist and a Sulpician priest who teaches at St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore. So, Father, you're going to be giving a concert at the Baltimore Basilica at the end of May. Could you tell us about that concert? What will you be performing and the significance of that work?
I'll be playing a Mozart concerto. It's the piano concerto number 20, which is in D minor, and it's Kirchhoff 466. It's kind of a pivotal work among Mozart's piano concertos because you can hear sort of the beginnings of Romanticism. I mean, Mozart is considered squarely a classical composer. He's like the classical composer. But you can see also where Romanticism grew up or developed from that. And the literary movement, sort of at the same time, was called Sturm und Drang, Storm and Stress. And it was featuring intense emotions and a dramatic approach to literature, and this had its parallel in music, especially in a work like this, Mozart. Beethoven loved this concerto and performed it. And in the concerto form, in the first movement and sometimes in the third movement, there are three movements, slow, fast, slow, basically. I mean, just the opposite, fast, slow, fast. The first and the third movement have what are called cadenzas, meaning that the orchestra essentially stops playing at one point, and the pianist originally was intended to improvise, improvise for a few minutes, and then come back, lead the orchestra back into playing and rounding out the movement. That was sort of the climax of the movement. And that's the case with, there's a cadenza in both the first movement and the third movement of this Mozart piano concerto. And rather than improvising a cadenza, a lot of people will play the cadenzas that Beethoven wrote, when, you know, that he used when he himself performed the piece. And I should say something. I like to tell people this, that I am a musical descendant of Beethoven, which means that my teacher was Leon Fleischer. Leon Fleischer's teacher was Arthur Schnabel. Arthur Schnabel's teacher was Theodor Lechetitsky. Lechetitsky studied with Carl Czerny, and Carl Czerny studied with Beethoven. So I'm a musical descendant. And so I feel a certain connection, especially to Beethoven's music. And I love these cadenzas. They're beautifully written. And I was thinking of writing my own, but I figured I could never match these. So I just decided to stick with Beethoven. What else can I tell you about the piece? It's in a minor key, which was not... The minor tends to be more sadder and more dramatic, and major keys tend to be happier and more content, you might say. So for Mozart to write in a minor key was kind of a big deal. But he wrote some of his most important works in minor keys, including the Requiem and the great opera, Don Giovanni, and some other works as well. And so it shows a different side of Mozart. It shows Mozart at his most dramatic, with lots of passion, and doesn't mean that there isn't important, there aren't important sections in major, which kind of are a wonderful relief. Like the whole second movement begins and ends in major, and it's just absolutely peaceful. Just, I don't know what the word to use is. It's very lyrical and I wouldn't say joyful, but peaceful and content, you know. So it's got the kind of light and darkness going on too. The contrast between the major and minor, but the overall mood is minor, except at the very end. And at the very end, the pianist plays this diminished seventh chord, and there's like this silence, and it's not, the audience is wondering, okay, is he going to come in major or minor? And he comes in major, and it's so joyful at the end. It's such a beautiful contrast to the opening and the greater part of the piece.
And that concert will be held May 29th and 30th at the Baltimore Basilica. How can people get tickets?
Well, the one easy way is to just go to the Basilica website and keep scrolling down, and you'll see they have tickets for their series.
Okay. We have about a minute left. I was wondering if you would have any advice for someone who might feel pulled between two calls or two vocations from your own experience. What kind of advice would you have for someone like that?
Well, I guess first of all, I would say certainly keep praying. And a good prayer to say is, Lord, help me to want what you want. Simple prayers like that. Lord, I want to do your will. And then the second thing is, if possible, get a spiritual director, someone whom you trust, who is experienced and knows what he or she is doing. And help you kind of sort through your prayer life, your experiences, all the ways in which God might be talking to you. And then at the end, it really comes down to feelings play a huge role. When you finally arrive at the point where you sense God's call, you'll have a tremendous peace about it. That's kind of amazing. It's like you go from feeling a little bit turmoil and not sure what you're going to do. You wake up one day and you're going to go one way, and the next day another way. And then finally, when you sort through the whole thing, God will let you know, and you'll have a tremendous sense of peace that even though you might not be able to explain why, you know that that's what God wants you to do.
Have you found that peace in your life?
Oh, yes, very much so. At various points. Like I had to decide also after I became a priest and I became a Sulpician, that took discernment. And then to decide what I was going to study and teach. And, you know, so when I, one morning, the Sulpicians kind of gave me carte blanche to study what I wanted to within theology or scripture. And, you know, or philosophy. And one day I'd be leaning one way, another day the other way. And finally, I just felt a great peace about studying scripture. And that's, I've been very happy doing that.
Great. Well, our guest today has been Sulpician Father Paul Millay, who will be giving a concert at the Baltimore Basilica on May 29th and May 30th. So, Father Millay, thanks again so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbald.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM, and also WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area. Check us out at catholicreview.org/CR-radio. Also on Apple Podcasts, Alexa, or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.